I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a new culture. A new culture. I've been thinking about this concept of culture lately. We just finished the Feast of Unleavened Bread yesterday, the 7 days of unleavened bread, where in the Jewish culture, it was a reminder of this time where they're cleaning out all of the yeast, all of the leaven. The New Testament talks about clean out the old leaven so that you might be a new batch. And it's this reminder, we're cleaning out, we've been released from darkness, transferred into the light because of what Jesus did. And we're cleaning out our old ways so we can learn to walk in this new way of living. And this new way of living has a new culture. And think about culture. What is culture? Culture is this unseen force that's either creating life or death. It's this unseen force that's working behind the background that shapes the way that we do things. It's implementing a new way of doing things into our life. And we talk about today, we're going to be asking for God's help. We're going to be taking communion for this to bring the culture of heaven. Every country has a culture. The United States has a culture. France has a culture. Germany has a culture. All the countries of the world have a culture. They have a way of doing things. It's the language, it's the food, it's the holidays, it's all the different aspects of culture, the art and the music and all the different things. And I believe also heaven has a culture. Jesus references heaven. He compares it to a country. Heaven has a culture. We're going to be asking for God's help to bring this culture of heaven down into our lives, to release and let go of this old culture, our old ways of doing things, and to implement this new culture into our life. We're going to be asking for his help with that today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was running my personal training business and really had no connection with God, really had no spiritual life whatsoever. My life was very out of balance. I was just focused on making money and business and was stressed all the time. My business started to lose money. And I finally came across this challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. So if you'll do that every day consistently, it will change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. On the first day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 1. Second day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 2. You continue like that to the end of the month, and you start back over again. And I've been doing this for several months, and it was starting to work on me. It was starting to change me from the inside out. And then one day I came across Proverbs 13:22. It just seemed to jump off the page at me one morning. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of just thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to create a system. I want to create teaching and training and a program, a system that has training for every area of life. For every area of life. But really, when I got started, I made that commitment. I had no clue where to start. But from that point on, my relationship just with God just began to grow and grow and grow. He began to teach me and train me. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind in remembrance, make it active and relevant right now in this present moment today. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. One of the biggest keys to creating this new culture we're talking about is just abiding in him. Jesus says, you abide in me, your lives will produce much fruit, and fruit that lasts. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity for us to combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice, to pull that into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice, something that we can release our faith into. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, just awe for his sacrifice and all that he went through, and that God loved us so much he was willing to send his one and only son. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he went through. He was spit on. He was beat. He went through the pressure before he even got to the cross. Crown of thorns on his head, nails in his hands and his feet, pierced in his side, crushed by God, smitten by God, it says. The cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. But then on the other side, he was raised back to life. And that same spirit, that same power that raised him up from the dead now lives on the inside of us. He forgives our sins and makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can have this personal relationship with him now. And I think it's important we remember both sides of that. To remember all that he went through, but all that it did for us. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some just practical health and fitness tips. Because I truly believe all the principles of health and fitness are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, how to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us. But it requires a new way of doing things as well. It requires a new culture in our bodies as well. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And remember, masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. Masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. We're going to talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. And how are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected with the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God. But our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact the things that we do, the decisions that we make, the things that we think, the things that we speak about. It's got to impact every area of our lives. So our first step, our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. And to be in position helps us to be in position to receive what God has for us. Think about a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's throwing the ball over here, but the receiver runs the wrong way. He's out of position to receive. To be in position helps us to receive all that God has. And we're going to start with humility, because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. Stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. Gratitude and praise, I view, as one of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our positioning all day long, is just to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we get in position, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. And we have this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. So this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his purpose and kingdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, this new culture from heaven, it's all available to be received from him and to flow through us today. So first, we got to get in position to receive. And then we got to get it flowing through us at a greater level, which is where we talk about our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify the light is to make bigger or greater. We're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant established in our hearts, where we have hearts that understand his grace. So we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? We've probably all had this experience where you have some issue or problem. And the more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you roll it over on the inside, the problem just seems to grow bigger on the inside of you. You've probably heard the saying, you're turning a molehill into a mountain. You're making this problem bigger on the inside of you. Well, that same principle works for the things of God. We can make him bigger on the inside. And I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are we just repeating over and over again? So to magnify the light, we can be meditating on God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can meditate on our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. He eagerly desires to help us. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us and just stay focused on all the things that are going well and looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them, not to meditate on them, not to roll them over constantly on the inside, to be toiling away on the inside, trying to figure it all out. It's learning to rest and trust and give those issues to God, and we're going to magnify God as bigger than those problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our minds, trying to figure it all out rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms, because when we're in darkness, we're magnifying the wrong things. There's going to be some symptoms. There's going to be some side effects and symptoms. You might notice you're retaliating at people. Maybe you're snapping at people. You might withhold good things that you know to do because somebody did something you didn't like. Somebody wronged you in some way. So you avoid them. You withhold good things. You give them the silent treatment. And then there's the heaviness and weight and pressure on the inside, like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness. like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think about like a black hole. It just sucks all the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's the toiling away in our mind, kind of the torment in our minds, the dread of the future as we're just playing all these scenarios out in our mind about the future. Most of them will probably never happen. Confusion about which steps to take and which direction to go. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness in Him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and energizing because His Spirit and power and love and peace and joy and energy and mind and wisdom, it all just begins to flow through us as He does the work. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, we ever miss it, it just takes a moment to get right back into the light again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. But if we miss it, it just takes a moment to get right back. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. I've missed it right now. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody or we need to reconcile with somebody, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking Him for His grace and His goodness and His love. And that what He put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today with beauty and poise and grace. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank You that what You put in me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me today. Help me to tap into it and to cultivate it at a greater level. You talk about changing the culture. You'll see a major culture shift. You'll see a new way of doing things come into your life in that area. Then our next fundamental, our third fundamental, is staying tuned in today. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us, but we've got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about implementing some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are new standards. They're commitments that we're making to walk at a higher standard, to implement God's culture, to implement His way of doing things into our life. And this culture serves as like true north on a compass to help navigate us throughout the day. So a filter might look something like this. We've been talking about changing out and installing some new filters every month with our partners in the Abundant Life Blueprint. A filter might look something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do the same for others. And so now when we're tempted to worry, we're tempted to stress, we have this reminder. Every night we keep writing it at the top of our journal. God's working for my good. He's working behind the scenes. Even though I might not be able to see Him, He's working. And then when you're tempted to get frustrated with somebody, they push your buttons, they do something you don't like, and we're tempted to snap at them or withdraw, we have this reminder. Wait a minute, God's working for my good. I'm going to do the same for other people. I'm going to do continually good for them, even though they did something I didn't like. And then this week, we've been talking about a second filter coming from our weekly, yearly cycle updates, which is just a reminder for us about where we are on God's calendar during this time of the year. Every year or every time of the year, it just has different reminders for us. They're just different angles about what God's up to in our lives. And this is a time of year of acceleration. This new culture, He wants to get it implemented into our lives right now, and it's going to accelerate us. And to remember, it's time to accelerate, and people working together is the greatest accelerator there is. People working together in unity and harmony is the greatest accelerator that there is. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question. God, what were You trying to show me today? Just get still and listen for a couple minutes. Whatever comes into my mind, just get it onto the paper. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. Every day He's trying to navigate us through the day. We've got to stay tuned in to Him and connected to Him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a deep breath, just get connected to Him, feel that presence with you, feel his presence with you, feel that fullness that's in him. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're going to get charged up. We're going to get powered up again. But it just takes 1 to 2 minutes to do. And then the final thing I do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure it all out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule, rather than waiting for him to show me. And I learned I was getting ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind him in those ways. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then as you go throughout the day, there'll be other things that you know to do that just kind of pop up and you know to do them. But that becomes the plan for the day. We wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every day sets the tone for the whole day. And yesterday on our daily communion meditation, we talked about something I've been seeking God about. What's the best thing for us to say? I felt like God was showing me, look at the beginning of the Bible. What's the first thing I said? Was, let there be light. Let there be light. So I wake up in the morning, that's the first thing out of my mouth. Let there be light. And I like to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And we get connected to him and we start walking out that plan together in partnership with him, with full confidence in him, all that doubt and unbelief removed, just that simple, childlike, confident faith in him. He's with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, this grace begins to surge through us. God begins to go to work. He brings these beautiful solutions into our life. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about a new culture. Cleaned out the old. This reminder that we have this year. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, cleaning out the old to make room for the new. God wants to clean out our old ways of doing things and to implement this new culture into our lives, his way of doing things. The culture of heaven, he wants to invade our lives. And what is the culture of heaven? It's a culture of greatness. God is great. And the Bible tells us he wants to make us great as well. Jesus was a great king. That culture of greatness is going to permeate into everything we do. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you today. Thankful for this opportunity just to remember. You're wanting to help us clean out our old ways and to help us implement this new culture of heaven into our lives, your way of doing things. And we're asking for your help with that today, Lord. Help us get this new culture functioning in our lives the way you designed it to function. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's just take a moment to remember all that he went through on the cross. Just take a moment to visualize what he went through, sweating drops of blood, all the pressure he had in his soul before he even got to the cross. Betrayed by his friends. Betrayed by his own people. Please, God, to crush him. Nails in his hands, in his feet. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was spit on. Not to mention what he went through just on the cross. But then on the other side, he rose again. And that same power, the same spirit that raised him from the dead now lives in us to bring this new culture into our lives, to teach us how to do things God's way. And we can be right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. So Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Think of this. A new covenant brings a new culture. The new covenant brings a new culture into our lives, a new way of doing things. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. Now we can have this new culture, this culture of greatness, this culture of heaven functioning in our lives. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So let's talk about the culture of our body just a little bit. Our physical bodies have a culture. Think antibiotics, probiotics. Your body has a culture. Physically, we just went through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days removing all the yeast and leaven out of our diets. And I feel like part of the reasoning for that physically helps us to remove the old culture out of our body, to have this new culture. Think about your culture in your body. It's one of the biggest forces at work in your body. Has a big impact on how easily your body burns fat or gains muscle or restores health and heals the areas. The culture of your body plays a big role. I think one of the greatest things we can do, talk about the culture of our body. A lot of it has to do with emotions, I believe. Do you have peace and joy and gratitude and faith circulating in your system consistently? Okay, that's where we talk about cleaning out those old ways. Get rid of the fear and the stress and the worry and all those things. Let's change the culture. Let's put this new culture in of peace and joy and love and rest into our body. I believe in as we ask God for this new culture, it's also going to see a shift in the physical culture of our body as well, that responds to things in a different way. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.